Okay, so what I had forgotten that I would like you to give a couple minutes to, if you can, is we have a private group that is in a non-censored environment that is aware of a lot of the stuff that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And when we get a spectacular guest like I consider you to be, sometimes it's nice to have a couple of words to that group behind the scenes, one of which would be, you know, just encouragement of what individuals can do that makes a difference to the whole situation. Mm-hmm. You know, anything that you'd like people to know. These are ones that understand what you're talking about.
There's a lot of theory that has now become actuality. The conspiracy side of the coin. Many of that is true. It's very true. There's a lot of nefarious players.
All right.
I've been working with Hollywood trying to uncover what's going on with the media, the big Comcast Communications that's owned a good portion. What you're seeing every day with all these networks. Mm-hmm. I have a chief propagandist that used to work with the CCP. He is English, lived here in L.A., mm-hmm. and he told me, he came clean. He said, you know, this has been going on for decades. They've been literally, he was the chief propagandist. He would just put it in a more presentable format, the narrative that they wanted to expose us all to.
And who? What organization is he talking about that's doing this?
Well, there's front groups. The company he worked for is based out of L.A. Uh-huh. And it is a Communist Party media outlet that in turn would share information directly to Sacramento, San Francisco, uh-huh. and other news outlets. So that is going on as we speak. He shared that information with me about a year ago. So that's there. It's real. It's real.
Is that integrated with the U.S. government too?
There's probably some of the Congress here in the state of California, as well as Senate and Assembly, that are somehow involved. I can name a few names that these particular Congress people have relationships with. The Communist Party of Taiwan, the other Cuba. We have elected officials, or excuse me, selected officials.
Right.
In Sacramento that has a deal with the CCP. Also works and has the muscle of the cartel from Mexico. They have deep contracts with some of these state organizations like DMV, mm-hmm. Selling our personal information from the DMV to the CCP.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I have a lot of intel, a lot of things that I have to be very careful what I share to
right.
protect those. So a lot of the things that you've been hearing, there's seeds of truth. I'm on this. And I have a great team. I have General Flynn. He's a dear friend of mine.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have some good people that are from the military community, from intelligence, that are working with us, that I have to be careful, engaged in what I can share, when I share.
Right. But
suffice it to say, we're working on this, and this will be dealt with. And
good.
Well,
you've got a whole network that's aware of it, basically,
yes.
and what needs to change.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The idea of America when it started, even though it's never been lived up to completely at this point, it was an incredible idea, mm-hmm. you know, that a country would have elected officials that would just be there as servants to try to protect everybody's freedom and well-being, not control their lives or things like that. And in fact, they were getting all the money they needed to operate without income taxes or anything like that in the beginning. They built the capital without it, and they were using tariff money and things like that. It's really working well. And at some point, it could actually be accomplished even now.
Yeah, I like the go back to basics model that worked quite
yeah.
well back in the day.
You know, most of the government agencies don't have any constitutional basis to exist.
Correct.
Right.
Absolutely correct. And back in the early times of Congress, they would spend most of their time in session or have a desk there. That was their office there in the conference.
In their early days, you mean?
Yeah. And like it's a power play for most of them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Are there any allies that, I mean, I know the time is really short before the midterms. Are there any allies that you can see or potential allies that would find any use in making a video, you know, that would be given to them after the show that they could use for a tool or something like that?
Oh, absolutely. There's quite a few great candidates out that I work with here in California and nationally. So when I meant by, you know, growing the team of the new generation of politicians, and I hate using the term politicians.
Yeah.
That we're connected. I work with them. I speak with them on a regular basis. They're always looking for opportunities to get their message out there, so I can put you in front and put you in front of them.
I mean, initially it might only be like speaking to a room of 30,000 people or something like that, but the that helps still.
And, oh, that's quite a large number,
right? And because people are sharing, you know, beyond the censorship. But the main impact could be if it was really covering what they wanted to say, it could be given to prospective voters as a way to kind of almost personally interact with a lot of them when there's not time to do it in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the offices, I have all unique character sets that they would do very well in their office. For example, they're supposed to be the well-spoken, educated diplomats that represent each state, being two from each state.
Right.
And the last, this election right now, we have candidates from both sides are really out there.
You're saying there's some good Democrats too? Or is that what you're
saying? Those Democrats that believe in the American values and dreams and the Constitution.
You know, I thought Tulsi Gabbard had some really good points. And it's like with Trump, I wish he could fill in the gaps. You know, like she's against the Second Amendment, as far as I could tell. Needs to learn about that. And I don't know what she was doing with abortion issues. Most of the Democrats feel like abortion is health care. And they can't really grasp what it actually is.
Yeah.
And a few things like that. I'd love to see the partisan aspect just disappear. I can't see any benefit to it at all.
I really enjoy listening to Tulsi.
Yeah, she's a good person, obviously.
She's amazing. She's a great mind in many respects. I think if she wants to run for Senate. Yeah, and you're right. When you go party, they say you cannot. The way things are right now, the polarization, and I know that after a session they can be friends and such, but usually in session it's like a.
And somebody was telling us when they first got elected, they got maybe it was Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think, and who's one of the really good people, I think, right now in the Congress. Mm-hmm. And she was saying when she first got in, everybody met each other and then they segregated them and told them how they have to fight for the whole time.
That's correct. That's how it's done. I think Tulsi mentioned that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. They put you in, they say, oh, you will vote a certain way. If you don't, you're a one-termer. That's the term they use.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And guess what? They don't control. No. The citizens vote you in office. You answer to your constituents and God.
Right. And actually, even though you're representing a state, I think you answer to everybody in the country, at least.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, what if at the federal level, it affects pretty much every citizen in the entire United States.
Yeah, I mean, they do try to get special deals for their state. I've seen that happen a lot. But overall, the bills that they vote on are going to be controlling the lives of everybody in the country. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people outside, because they're voting on, you know, giving some dictator in some foreign country a lot of support or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Like we're doing now.
Instead of exposing it.
Yeah, there's so many, outdated laws, outdated treaties that need to be dealt with, and that's what Senate will be dealing with. Some of the foreign aid that goes out, something that needs to be reviewed. We have immigration laws that we need to tackle that have been kicked down the road for decades now.
Foreign aid per se is actually illegal, isn't it?
I'm sorry?
Foreign aid, according to the Constitution, is not legal.
Yeah, how do they phrase it now? I'm just trying to remember how they get it. Yeah.
And the excuse is it is protecting U.S. interests, I guess.
Mm.
You know, but I don't think it's legal. And in fact, there's a famous story when Davy Crockett was in, I think he was in the House rather than the Senate. I'm not positive. But I think he was a congressional representative, and he was walking around to visit the farmers in his district to try to get reelected. And one of them in this story said, "No, I'm not going to vote for you again." And Davy Crockett, who was supposedly a really well-motivated, good person, said, "Well, what did I do? You know, why?" And he said, "This thing came up where you were going to give money to this widow who just had her house burned down or something." You know, and Davy Crockett was like, "Well, of course, that's, you know, we're just being kind." He said, "It's not your money. You can't do that. You have to follow the Constitution." And it was really an interesting story. And I think we've gone way to the other extreme now.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't even issue their own money. They've got this private group that Ron Paul talked about a lot called the Federal Reserve, which is a private company.
Mm-hmm.
And they control all the money.
That's exactly what they're doing. Yeah, you're right.
Right.
Well, anyway. I'm hoping I'll meet with Rand Paul soon.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, I do have a call or two into him regarding Fauci.
Okay. I would love to see you communicate with Rand Paul. Because
I look forward to it. I really do. He's an amazing, bright mind. And so, yeah, I think I'm going to continue down that path. I really believe that the general is winnable.
General Flynn?
Oh, well, General Flynn is he's from my home state, Rhode Island.
I didn't know that. Okay. Yeah. Would he ever go on a small radio show?
No.
Probably he has access to all the big ones all the time.
Yeah, I just sent him the video we put together today, and he was really impressed. Even though he's still a general.
Right.
People in the military, they have a certain level of respect for higher-ranked officers and staff officers. So
yeah,
he lives in a different world. But I tell you, he's amazing. He's down to earth. He'll sit down with you.
Yeah.
It's very much like Bobby Kennedy Jr. He's just
exactly
genuine and real, down to earth.
They're both doing incredible work.
Yeah, and they have my full support, I tell you.
Yeah.
That's what we need. We need more leaders now.
That's right. And the party is irrelevant.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I hope you forgive me for keeping you up so late. I know you...
No, I enjoyed this. I really did.
Did you? Okay.
I did.
It was great to have you visit. So we should do it again. And yeah, if there is anybody... I understand General Flynn won't probably do things like that, but if there's other candidates that you'd like to have us, you know, it would appreciate support, then that would be great.
Absolutely, yes. There's a Daniel Mercury. He's running for governor. I really enjoy our conversation. He's also military. He's someone I can recommend.
Okay.
Is Rhonda Kennedy running against Adam Schiff? She'd love an opportunity to speak. She loves being in front of the camera.
What's the best way to reach you for communication on that kind of stuff?
Oh, you can call me. You have, I think you have my cell, don't you?
Yeah, I think I do, because we talked on the phone.
Yeah, just go ahead and call me, and I'll set everything up for you.
Okay. Yeah, that would be neat, because there's at least a little time to give them some extra support, yeah. And it might make a difference.
Yeah, we want more of us in office now.
Yeah, sometimes a few extra 1,000 votes can do something.
Absolutely.
So,
okay. Well, I thank you for your time.
Yeah, that was great. Same here.
I enjoyed this.
Really a privilege. So if there's any time in the future when we can do anything helpful, I hope you'll let us do that.
Well, help me raise money. That's all I need.
Okay, we can do that.
Thank you.
You know, if you have anybody that wants to make a banner or something like that to put on a website, mm-hmm. we could post one.
Oh, I have several. I can shoot it over to you.
Yeah, just share them.
Okay. I'll do all right. That.
What are the critical dates again, James?
May 9th is when the ballots come out, and it's going to be, I call it voting season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's weird, isn't it?
It is.
Does that violate the California Constitution?
No, they passed into law the mail-in ballots during COVID.
Okay.
They made it law now. I'm recommending everyone to vote in person the first day.
Yeah.
That way they can't mess with your ballots. Can you just surrender your ballot saying, and if they tell you someone voted in your place, you have evidence that you didn't vote. And they do that all the time here in California.
Wow. And they have those big hoppers or whatever they look like a dumpster for ballots. And they put those around in the neighborhoods to make it more convenient. Drop off boxes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where you lose the chain of custody. That's the big issue.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Have a good rest tonight.
Thank you.
You too. All right.